This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Fiona Patton, leader of the Reason Party. Our next guest is Paul Healy. Paul is the State Secretary of the Health and Community Sector Union. And we're going to talk about a subject that's probably going to send a few people into a tiz. And that is potentially, let's have a discussion about cannabis being legalised, and I assume by that taxed, to help fund mental health. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good, Mayor. Good morning. Yeah, feeling good.
So tell us about this idea, to legalise cannabis. And I assume as part of that, if it's going to be used to fund mental health, then there'd have to be a tax on it, wouldn't there?
Yeah, look, it really started with the Royal Commission into mental health, how they were going to fund it. And currently the government has a levy on payroll tax. But I was thinking about how to fund it on a more permanent basis, which would be by the government growing and selling and licensing cannabis. And when the government could grow it, they could be the wholesaler. So we think there's about $1.5 billion of cannabis sold wholesale in Victoria every year and $8 billion retail, which is going directly to criminals. And the criminals are then using that money to import heroin, ice and cocaine, which has significant harm to people. So we believe if the government took the money off the criminals and used it for health, and we think that with that, and I always say that I'd like the first $2 billion to come to health. We'd like to spend $900 million a year on mental health, $300 million on Indigenous health and wellbeing, $300 million on drug and alcohol services, and $500 million on housing, public housing. And that would go a long way for the social determinants to actually make people's lives better. So we think rather than being a negative and a blight on our society, we should use it to make our society better and have better services for people.
So Fiona, I mean, it won't surprise our listeners that both you and I have the same view on this. What stage, what stage are we at with marijuana decriminalisation? We know the medical use of marijuana is sort of happening, but it's a bit of a rocky road, and there seems to be a few missteps. Tell us how you think we can progress this, you and Paul.
Hi, Paul, and I think some of the real changes in this is that a health union such as Paul, such as HACSU, would be talking about the regulation, the legalisation and regulation of cannabis, and talking about it in a very well thought out way. And as many of your listeners know, and you do, Macca, I'm just chairing the Use of Cannabis Inquiry, and we're just deliberating on the final report, which will be tabled on the 5th of August. And I think what was surprising in that was when Paul and his team gave evidence to that inquiry, there were not absolute gasps and people, falling off their chairs at the idea that by regulating and legalising cannabis, you could actually assist in people's mental health. And I just wondered with Paul whether you've had much positive feedback from government. I certainly get sort of private messages about this, but governments still seem to be very reticent about moving forward here.
Look, I think the government at this stage is a bit nervous, but I think, as you see around the world, more and more countries are doing this. We've seen so much success, like in Portugal and Holland. We've seen in America, even very conservative states like Texas have now legalised it, and it's been very beneficial. I think the slightly different is that you can't really commercialise it. The government manages it and uses it, but also, you know, there is potential harm, and we need to make sure that the people that sell it are trained in drug and alcohol counselling as well. So you've, every touch point, wherever people come in contact with it, there's experts about knowledge about the issues and their support. And then by building better drug and alcohol services, people, you know, will stay well. And I worked in mental health for a long time, and it can be harmful, but if it's well managed and people are looked after and supported, it's going to be big changes. And certainly by preventing criminals from having money is really important, I think. And certainly my old mate Harry always talks about the criminals getting the money and how bad it is. So I think that's the way to go.
Can I ask Paul and Fiona, you know, we know that, you know, people that have tried marijuana or that use marijuana, particularly, you know, on a regular basis, and I think one of the measures I saw there was once a month or more. It's a huge percentage of the population. And I'm the same as Fiona. You know, there are lots of people that will say to you privately from the Parliament that they support this, but publicly they can't. Paul and Fiona, how do we actually move the debate on so we get by, oh, well, look, it's okay, it's all right to actually do it, but I'm not going to legalise it, I'm going to continue for it to be illegal, and I'm going to continue for the money that flows from it to fund illegal crime, you know, illegal activities and money laundering. How do we actually advance this discussion seriously?
Well, I think by putting in government policies and lobbying and continue to bring on good science, look at the examples overseas, look how they're working. This is not a radical idea anymore, and the world's moved on. And even medicinal cannabis 3 years ago or 4 years ago wasn't going to be used in Victoria. Now it is. And I think as people see, and it's not sensationalised as, all bad, and people understand that harm still continues to people, bad things still occur because it's there. No, the war on crime's never succeeded. And every country that's had a war on drugs, has never succeeded. So why keep repeating the same thing, and why fund criminals when you can fund health and have really positive outcomes?
I was going to say, Fiona, this is a bit of a sarcastic comment, but of course the government is getting money from organised crime, because when it gets laundered at Crown, then eventually the government gets a cut of it. But that's all based on the premise that Crown pay the right amount of tax, isn't it?
And that's exactly right. And I think what Paul's suggesting is a much more direct way of benefiting from those sales, that rather than washing it through Crown and hoping that they'll pay the correct tax on it. This is a far more direct way of going. It's interesting. For the first time, the National Household Drug Survey was regularly asked the question, what should we do about cannabis? And for the first time, more people said, I think we should regulate it. I think criminalising it's a mistake. And let's not forget, like, people sort of think, oh, nothing happens to someone who uses cannabis. 30% of people who are prosecuted for the use of cannabis are jailed. Like, these people are still going to jail for using or possessing cannabis, where, you know, we hear everyone talking about use, you know, that we treat drug use as a health issue rather than a criminal one, but we still criminalise it. And I think that, you know, we've had a long inquiry, we've had about 1,500 people write personal submissions to this inquiry, and we've had nearly 100 organisations, and I'd have to say that, you know, the very, very vast majority of those have all recommended regulatory change. And to take cannabis out of the criminal system, so take it away from the criminals, but also provide pathways to help rather than pathways to prison. And, you know, Paul, you know, when you've got a big union like Paul's coming out and saying this, I think I'm hoping that we're seeing the crumbling, the eventual crumbling of this war on drugs. War on people, really. It's not on the drugs.
Do you think, Paul, you know, in terms of, you know, your members, I mean, they're experiencing some of, you know, a lot of this, and the fact that you're advocating for it, says to me, look, there are a lot of arguments for and against, but is it fair to say that, you know, that your members are coming down very strongly on the side of legalising cannabis and the funding being used in the way that you've indicated?
Yes, certainly. They see that there's a desperate need for stronger mental health services. The Royal Commission proves that, but they just believe there needs to be more services. There needs to be more drug and alcohol services in Victoria.
Yeah.
The waiting time for beds is more than 6 months. And if you want to go into the private system, somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000.
Wow.
You know, so we need more public service services, and the drug and alcohol sector needs to be really strengthened, and this is a way to fund it. But when I say use money in the housing, it's getting to the state now in Victoria where people in the country can't afford houses. I was thinking the people who are homeless. But we need to have more public housing so people can reach in and get housing too, which is a really important factor in life. So I think the money that would be earned would be make a seismic change to our society. I just see it's a really positive way to have a good impact.
Yeah, and the money that can be saved, and the money that can be saved by taking it out of the criminal justice system. We know that some, you know, the cannabis is not harmless by any means, and that, you know, people who might have a disposition to mental ill health, you know, things like early onset of cannabis use, really high potency cannabis, people with a genetic predisposition or a disposition to mental health. You know, while it's criminalised, it's really hard to regulate and control those things. If you can regulate this industry, you've got far more chance of delaying the use of cannabis in young people. Because I can tell you that the criminal selling them cannabis right now is not checking their ID.
Yeah.
No. Where if we had a regulated system, we could talk about it, and we could talk honestly to our kids and transparently to young people about why they should delay onset, why developing brains don't do well with psychoactive substances, and that, I mean, that obviously includes alcohol and other substances.
Look, it's a really interesting discussion, but it's actually an important discussion, and I thank you, Paul, for you know, coming on air to talk about it. I'm sure we'll get some feedback. I've already seen some, and you know, Fiona for, you know, joining us on this discussion. So we are actually out of time.
Yeah,
we've had a couple of messages. There's one here. Thursday's ABC foreign correspondent looked at what is happening in Mexico in the hands of drug cartels. It shows what happens when you allow criminals to control lucrative international drug markets. You have mothers literally digging in the dirt looking for their sons. And look, some other comments about advocating for the legalising something that is illegal. Okay, the evidence is mixed, I agree. But why don't you cast your mind back to the 1960s? When our community wanted our activity and our love to be legal, it was illegal. So just think about that for a moment. It's not a comparison some will like, but at the end of the day, we need to have these discussions. And if we don't have the discussions, then we're not going to advance the cause. Look, some of the other messages, you know, were about the Lord's Prayer in Parliament, a lot of them about COVID and different vaccines. Look, I think it is an important discussion that we have on the legalisation or otherwise of marijuana. And Fiona, if we don't have this discussion, we're not going to advance it. And I drew the parallel of, you know, the legalising of homosexual sex in the 1970s. And reality is, if we didn't have that discussion, then we wouldn't be where we are now.
No.
What is the response in the Parliament? If I can ask in terms of numbers, I'm not asking you to tell us who.
But I don't know if you can hear me.
No, we can hear you.
Oh, can you? Well, yeah. I'm on the clean feed.
Yeah, fair enough. I've switched over to clean feed.
Oh, fantastic. Look, I think it's you know, people are still, you know, and I think following on from your analogy, Macca, I think people are still in the closet about drug policy and about cannabis use. Mm-hmm. So we know young people are really open about this, but...
That's right, you just need to answer that, Fiona, but mute the sound on that and we'll be right. So sorry.
Yeah, young people are really open about this, and we've got sort of the vast majority of young people saying it's crazy that my friends are being criminalised for choosing. Sometimes they will say we choose cannabis over alcohol, but it's going to take a number of us to come out of the closet and talk more about cannabis use. And it's, I know people fear normalising a psychoactive substance, but once we do that, we can reduce stigma, and that enables us to get the help to people who might need it.
Exactly.
But we can't do it while it's illegal.
And to be able to fund that.
That's right.
That would make a huge difference.
Yeah, look, I think Paul Healy and Haxu are really onto something, and certainly we've seen that in the jurisdictions in the United States. And I'm not saying that the United States is possibly the way we want to go, but we are seeing the revenue raised and the diminishing of the criminal market. And I think that we save money from diminishing the criminal market, but we also make money through a regulated, licensed and taxed industry.
And hopefully reduce by actually doing good research to mitigate the effects.
That's exactly right, and that's what we're finding. And in Canada, I think Canada being a Commonwealth country and having a federated system like us, you can see we can look to what they're doing, and what they found is that there's been no significant increase in cannabis use since it was legalised. They are seeing a small delay in the use of cannabis by young people, and the only area they're seeing any increase in cannabis use is in the over 50s and the over 60s, and ooh. I think these are people reliving their youth possibly that didn't still have the same connection. So the evidence is starting to emerge that once you regulate something, you can control the harm of it far more effectively.
Mm-hmm. And, we've seen this in so many different areas of society.
That's exactly right. We know that we're even trying to do this with Portugal, where they actually decriminalised the use and possession of all drugs. They had one overdose last year.
Only one?
One overdose.
Wow.
We have more opioid overdoses in Australia and in Victoria than people who die from overdoses than people who die on our roads. So the just say no principles, the approaches that we are taking are not working. We were hearing from young people saying, you know, when they had bought cannabis from a dealer, they were sometimes offered other products.
Very important.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.